Welcome to the tax update for 30th September. I'd almost have imagined that over the summer months there would be little change in taxation, but I imagined wrong because the finance bill got royal assent on the 15th of September, and it introduces some fairly startling changes, including one which will impose an income tax charge on people who buy properties with a view to developing them and selling them at a gain. It's definitely worth a read, although 662 pages, it's fairly lengthy. There's also new advisory fuel rates which apply from 1st September 2016. And I've got very mixed views on this because it changed from June, and changing the fuel rates is a recipe for mistakes to arise, but you've got a month of leeway to use the old and the new rates, and it should give employees and employers certainty about what can be paid as a tax-free allowance. As a student of the 1970s, I followed with great interest the development of the case law and precedent on capital allowances, the high water mark of which was probably the Barclay-Curl decision or the Scottish and Newcastle decision, where what seemed to be part of the setting was allowed because it functioned. But I was surprised to see a case coming before the tribunal, and it concerned the use of a caravan, which was required if you were to be a warden for the caravan club at various sites. And Mr. and Mrs. Telfer had claimed substantial allowances on the purchase and sale of a couple of caravans, which they needed to have because they were part of the flying squad of the caravan club and would act as wardens at different sites and needed to use the caravan as a base when they were on that site. So it was a requirement of the employer, but the test was, is it a requirement of the duties, and does the caravan function when the duties are being performed, even though it's necessary and the employer requires it? Well, the answer to that is a fairly obvious no, and I was reminded of Mason versus Tyson, the architect who tried to claim the furniture in his flat above his office because it was helpful to him to be able to stop there when working late. And similarly, the first tier tribunal ruled that the caravans were not something by means of which the duties were carried on, but were instead structures of the setting and played no part in the carrying on of the business. They were merely the place within which the duties were carried on. HMRC have revised and they've restructured, and I read that there are now three directorates. So I've given you links to the organisation chart of HMRC, which I think is horrendously complex, and it's difficult to appreciate who's in charge of what. And also I link to the charter, which is an interesting read. My big concern is that HMRC are reorganising and changing dramatically, but they do so very, very selfishly without regard to what taxpayers need. And in particular, I started to read the first of the 38-page documents on making tax digital, and that consultative document, which invites comments by the 7th of November, also contains links to five other consultative documents. And I grew horrified at the mandatory requirements which HMRC imagine, that all small businesses, even in startup, will acquire a computer and be able to make quarterly returns with a new filing and payment date 9 months after the end of the accounting period. This is very serious, and it's a huge burden that they're imposing on small business. It's such a burden, I think it might be violating, but if it's not violating, it's very, very close to violating Article 4 of the European Convention of Human Rights. But of course, if we leave Brexit, that may not be applicable anyway. And finally, HMRC have published statistics on R&D and patent box claims. And the new patent box claims are something which I certainly have not got my head round, but it makes an interesting read. Thanks very much for listening.